Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.
Fabulous. Father God, we just love you so much. And we just pray, Lord, that there be angels ascending and descending in this place right now. I pray the spirit of love would invade every closet and every hallway within our hearts. I pray that your love would unite us with bonds that are not easily broken. And Lord, I pray that something in this place today would be a microcosm of what we want to see the great city of Liverpool become in future years, in future seasons. Father God, we thank you, God, for loving us with an undeniable love, Lord God, that will never let us go, that will lead us all the way through into eternal life forever and ever and always, in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Great, give God another clap offering of praise. Fabulous. Give the band a hand as they take their seats. Oh, I love that. You can take your seats. Well, great to be here. My car is on autopilot with Liverpool now because I've been over so many times in the last month. I just press a button and it arrives in Liverpool safe and sound. How are we, Liverpudlians? We well? Great. Nice sunny day. First sunny day of, are we in winter or in spring? Spring. And so it feels good outside. The magazines are available as we go out to tell us everything that's happening in the next year in the life of Hope City Church. Well, I'm here this morning. I want to speak to you about a message close to my heart and weave in and out some honour for Roger and for Anna as well in my message today. And by the end of it, I think you're going to sense that God is very much alive and the future of Hope City Church in Liverpool is absolutely awesome. Usually, if you want to motivate a group of people or an individual, you tell them to get down off the grandstand and to get onto the field. And usually you tell people to stop being spectators and stop being onlookers. And it's time to become fully blown participators. Usually, if you want to motivate a church, you say, get off your backside and start scoring goals. But we're ignoring something quite special and quite precious that I want to big up this morning. And there's another place that exists on a small slither of land on the side of the field. And it's just outside the spotlights, just outside the camera shot. And it's called the bench. And today I want to honour Roger and Anna and their decision to come off the field of leadership and to come back on to the bench. And after 6 years of full time on the field of leadership and 3 years, I'm guessing, pastoring Liverpool, their desire is firstly, it's to recoup and refresh their family ties. And secondly, to get fully behind the future of Hope City, Liverpool. This ain't a disaster, this is a delight. And I'll show you why it's a delight as you listen in. No player, no legend, no star has ever stayed on the field of play without timeout on the bench. The bench is not for people who are losers. The bench is for champions in mid-play, in mid-season, and not one of us will ever continue to be on the field all of the time without some time out on the bench. Some of you think that you're on the shelf. God has never made a shelf in his entire lifetime. God don't make shelves. God only makes benches. It's temporary. It's a temporary state of affairs. And the devil wants to say to you that your time's finished, that there is no future, that you're on the shelf just gathering dust. You're not. You're on a temporary structure called the bench. God's placed you there. And if God placed you there, God will take you off there. And because the ways of the righteous spiral upwards, your greatest season is yet to come. You don't know about it. Only God knows the future that he has for your life. But your attitude will make all the difference. Because if you think you're on the shelf, you'll give up and end up on the spectator stand. If you know it, you're on the bench, then you'll get ready for the greatest season of your entire life. There's some here that need to get off the field of striving and onto the bench. Some of you are too spiritual, trying to fake spirituality, trying to fake God speaking to you because you're exhausted, because you're trying to fill in with an extra sense of righteousness, an extra sense of goodness. You're exhausting yourself being two people. The best thing to do is to come off the field of striving onto the bench. There's some here that need to stay on the bench a little while longer, and yet there's some here that need to boot up. Your number's up. And it's time to come off the bench, and it's time to come on to the next season that God has for you, the most exciting season of your entire life. With First Fruits in Hope City Church only 3 weeks away and the moving of Hope City Liverpool to a more central location, this is an opportunity of a lifetime for a fresh rising up of faith and sacrifice to see God bless our lives and God bless our city. It's a season of reckless generosity and holy abandonment. That's off the bench. We're on the field holding nothing back, sacrificing everything that we have to see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, fulfilling the Lord's Prayer in the 21st century. Wow, I can think of no bigger honor and no greater mission than to do that here in this great city of Liverpool. Let me start by saying that not every great player is ever on the field scoring goals all at the same time. Some are resting, some are recovering, some are reinventing, some are injured, and some are new to the Premiership. You can tell the future of a team, whether it's going to go all the way or whether it's going to falter mid-season, by who's on the bench. It's called depth of team. And you're watching today. And over the coming 2 months, you're watching Hope City Liverpool gain a depth of team that we've never had before, because God's getting us ready to win the Champions League. He's getting us ready to win the Premiership. He's getting us ready with a depth of team. One of the only endearing image of the World Cup from 2010, the only one for England, was David Beckham on the bench. He wasn't on the shelf. He wasn't at home wrapped in a blankie with a water bottle watching Jeremy Kyle USA. He wasn't on the stands. He wasn't in the commentary box. He was on the bench. He was injured. Let me say this. He was down, but not out. There's nothing wrong with being down. As long as you're down, but not out. He was on the bench. He wasn't at home. He wasn't on the spectator stand. He was on the bench. He was glorifying the bench. And there's a bunch of people here right now that are like Beckham's on the bench. People like that Theodore Roosevelt described as having, or being warriors, having faces covered by dust, sweat and blood, legends of the faith. People young and old who have been on the field of conflict in the arena of Goliath slaying, forerunners of the game. You're now recovering, resting, you've completed a season and innings and a tour of duty. I don't know if you realize the full force when you're captain of a team and when you're the lead pastor of a congregation, whether you could understand the full force of pressure, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against powers and principalities, that the force is on 24 hours a day. We nestle into Jesus Christ, we're protected by Jesus Christ, but the boat still rocks. And so it's impossible for somebody to continue to be in that position forever without taking some time out on the bench to be able to become like David Beckham resting and recovering and reinventing so that the next season will be stronger than the last season. Firstly, I want to thank you. I want to thank all of the champions here who have faces marred by blood, sweat and tears, who 30 years ago sacrificed so much for the kingdom of God, who 10 years ago gave that car up, gave that holiday up in order to see the kingdom of God grow. We want to thank the prayer warriors from 100 years ago in Liverpool that paved the way for us to be here today, that we're a multi-generational church. We want to thank the early church. We want to thank the Celtic church. We want to thank the people in our family lines, the ministers and the prayer warriors back through our family tree that have paved a way for us to be here today, the champions of the faith. Just because you're not on the field doesn't mean you're not part of the team. And just because they've passed away, it doesn't mean they're not part of the team. Team Jesus is multi-generational. In 6 weeks' time, we'll be saying thank you to two heroes of the faith, to Roger and Anna, two people that have given their lives for the cause, who have sacrificed their livelihood. They've given the best, the prime years of their lives so far. This is not the end, but they've given the prime years of their lives to a cause that's much bigger than them. They've given selflessly, 6 years full-time selflessly. They've, in one way, sacrificed the equivalent of tens of thousands of pounds in order to lead us to the position and to the place where we are today. In a couple of weeks, you'll get to meet Dave and Lisa Stoner, who are our Lancashire lead pastors, who have taken the invitation to become your new lead pastors. Let me say this, you'll not be disappointed. I shared on Wednesday night to the partners in the vision that David, King David, got the plans for the temple, yet it was Solomon who built the temple. This is team ministry all the way. And this is depth of team all the way. God is up to something. Psalm 134 talks about, and I've got the scripture wrong if you're going to put it up there, those who minister by night in the house of the Lord. It says, lift up your hands and bless the Lord. It's the most powerful ministry time you could ever do is at night time. When you bless the Lord in your night season, when you minister by night in the house of the Lord, it prepares the way for daytime. And there are plenty of us in this room who have ministered by night. When your world's caved in on you, you've continued to minister. Like Joseph, when your dream lay unfulfilled, you became an interpreter of other people's dreams, the butler and the baker, and you broke open a nation while your dream lay unfulfilled. You ministered by night. And I want to take my hat off to every person in this room who ministers by night, who served by night. Bible says, lift up your hands. You've done a great thing and bless the Lord. Manchester United isn't great just because of the Ryan Giggs or the Wayne Rooneys. It's great because of the Matt Busbys. I should have changed this, shouldn't I? Oh, scrap that. Let's rip that page out. A great team is a deep team where talent, history, experience and wisdom extends to the weather-beaten slats of the bench. Secondly, to all who have completed a season, the game's not over till the fat angel sings. This game is rumbling on. You watch Liverpool, that we've got so far, and this is the best season we've ever been in, with the best group of people we've ever gathered together in one single encounter. You watch it as we move Hope City Liverpool to a more central location. You watch this place as your friends get more and more open, as we mix more and more with the good news of Jesus Christ. You watch this place absolutely explode. This game's not over. This game's only just begun. I want to declare we finished the pioneer days. We finished the days of us straightening up the crooked paths, of lifting up the valleys, of bringing down the mountains, that this is ready now for Jesus Christ to really land in this place and for Jesus Christ to really rip this place up, to see Hope City Liverpool be multiplied and the church grow beyond all measure within this great city in the northwest of England. Brian Houston once tweeted, "The end of a season is not the completion of the journey." When Jesus said it's finished, it wasn't. His first tour of duty was finished. But he wasn't finished. His tour of duty was finished. His dying on the cross for the sins of mankind was finished. But he went on. And today he's forever making intercession on behalf of his church, pleading his blood and pleading his forgiveness over planet Earth. Jesus Christ is as fully occupied today in the office of high priest as he ever has been in his history and even in his time on this planet. It's not the end, it's an ad break. It's a blank sheet between chapters. You may feel like you're on the shelf. It used to be the star player, the life of the party, the one others wanted for their team. You used to have a bunch of friends that did everything together. You used to be in a relationship that, despite your best efforts, slowly grew cold and distant, and it died in your hands. Let me say, it's not the end. It's not a shelf. It's an ad break. It's the bench. For ministry, relationally, socially, vocationally, this is your opportunity to recover, get reinvented, and get recharged. Life was never as good as you made it out to be. You're romanticizing the past, thinking about the good old days. There's no such thing as the good old days. The future is always better than your past, because God makes it so. Many of you were square pegs in round holes, and your destiny is to be a square peg in a square hole. Psalm 138 verse 8 is for you. The Lord will fulfill his purpose concerning you, for your love, O Lord, endures forever. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 is for you. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until Christ's return. Listen to me. He won't abandon you mid-season. Jesus Christ won't abandon you on the bench. A lot of you still want the wind in your hair because your security is in wind. Your security needs to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, and have a confidence to pace yourself and have a confidence that just because you're not on the field doesn't mean you're not part of the team. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you because you're not the one scoring goals. Come back to proper teamwork, thank you very much. And stop being just a star player because your self-esteem is locked in what you do instead of who you are and whose you are. He won't abandon you mid-race. Other people may be doing what you used to do. You used to be number seven. Someone's got your jersey. Other people may be spending time late into the night with exactly the same people you used to burn the midnight oil with. I've got two words for you. Move on. This is what God said to Samuel when Saul had blown it. And Samuel and Saul were fairly close together. And Saul had blown it, so Samuel had spent every day crying his little heart out. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1, the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I've rejected him as king? Fill your horn with oil and go on your way. It's time to anoint the next king." Some of you need to drop history. Some of you need to realize it will not come back again. Some of you need to stop crying over spilt milk. It's gone under the refrigerator. There's nothing you can do about it. It's impossible to mop up now. So just Just forget about it, and it's time to move on. It's time to move on. It's time to stop reminiscing and stop recapping and stop telling the stories of what God did 20 years ago. Listen, they'll pale into insignificance compared to what God will do with somebody renewed, who's back on track, who's anointing the next king. Fill your horn with oil. Fill your horn with the oil of joy, the oil of joy for mourning. Refill your jars full of oil for the new season. Break open a Coke Light. Put on Kaiser Chiefs, I Predict a Riot. Bake a cake and throw yourself a party, that it's a brand new day and His mercies are brand new today and the best is yet to come. Stop crying over spilt milk. She's not worth it. He's not worth it. Stop holding things against people. Forgive them. You'll still be churned up emotionally, but you should never bring them back into conversation. Refuse to bring up that name in private. Refuse to bring up that name while holding a conversation that will never be repeated. Refuse to do so. You can't rein in your emotions, but you can rein your mouth in. You can draw a line in the sand and move out of your past and move into your future. There's people here who need to get off the field and head for the bench. You need to be refreshed spiritually. You need to come back to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything starts with a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can continue to function in Hope City Church, but once you lose that leading light of personal relationship, you've lost everything. And then we fake it to make it. It's time to come onto the bench. Let me say this, that Jesus, at the first meeting of God and humanity, wasn't at the beginning of the day saying, God, I commit my life to you. It was at the cool of the day where God came down to the Garden of Eden. At the cool of the day, in order to ask you, how's your day going? That relationship begins with you telling God how things are going. It doesn't begin with commitment to God. It doesn't begin with first fruits. It begins by sharing with God the trueness of your heart, sharing with God the true feelings of your heart. And some of you just need to come back to the cool of the day of having a chat to Jesus. He's fully accepting. He's fully encompassing. He's not shocked or surprised by anything. But He starts with you acknowledging Him in all of your ways before you switch to all of His ways. It's called the bench. Some of you have got build-ups of disappointment, signs of exhaustion. Lost your spark, you've lost your va-va-voom, you've lost your mojo. It's time for a Sabbath rest. If you can allow this season to end, then you can allow the new season to begin. Which I love that about Roger and Anna. Hope City Church in Liverpool is the best it's ever been. Most people go to the bench when everything's falling down, when the car is the engine blows up. That's when they usually go to the bench. But I love it when people go to the bench while things are going well, so that they can rest and get recovered and get re-strengthened and get repositioned and reinvented to come back for the next leg, and they can miss out on all of the pain of doing things in times of disaster. You can avoid personal disaster by being smarter with the way you do your life. It's difficult because you need to release your identity from what you do and from who you're hanging around with, back to whose you are. In John 15, verse 2, Jesus said, every branch that bears fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. It's time to lay it down. It's time to disengage. And it's time to allow yourself to be pruned by the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 12, verse 24, it says, unless a grain of wheat dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces many seed. To everyone who's on an ad break, who's in this place right now, beware of the grandstand. Beware of the looming shadow of cynicism that falls upon inactivity and insecurity. Never say about the church that it's not as good as it used to be. Never say that. Stop hanging around negative people. Stop clogging yourself up with doubt and pessimism. Stop going off in a huff. Stop parking your backside on the plastic bucket seats of the stands. Stop sitting in the commentary box. The skyline of your mind will determine the skyline of your future. Change your attitude and you'll change your world. Now, lastly, but this is more, most importantly, it's not just the quality of the bench that makes a great team. It's the attitude of the bench. When England was losing, which was all the time back in 2010, right? Beckham was standing up, but he wasn't standing in a tracksuit. He was standing up, not in his chinos or his PJs. He was standing up in his Armani. Standing up in his Pierre Cardin. He was standing up in his Yves Saint Laurent. That's how he dressed. Some of you, when you're going through a bad hair day, you never get out of your PJs, do you, Liverpool? Sometimes the best thing you can do when you don't feel like exercise and think the only thing I'm going to do is I'm just going to put my sports gear on. That's all I'm going to do. I'm just going to put my sports gear on. Because guaranteed, the moment you put your sports gear on, just sit near the front door, you think, oh, I might as well just go outside. Whenever you don't feel that exercise, just think, all I'll do is I'll just do for a 5-minute walk around the block. By the time you do it, think I might as well go for 10 minutes. The moment you get dressed up in your attitude, in your new attitude, everything changes. You don't need to change your life. You just need to change your attitude. David Beckham was believing. He was involved. He was hoping against all hope. And as the camera follows the activity of As the cameras follow the activities of the field, God's cameras follow you to see whether it's all about you or whether it's all about the kingdom. To see whether it's all about how bad you're feeling today or whether it's all about the kingdom of God. Every one of us from now on needs to bench it like Beckham. We need to have the attitude that David Beckham had of standing up, getting behind the team, putting everything behind everything that's going on for the greatest season that we've ever been involved in. Some of the greatest goals of the kingdom are about to be kicked. Our first fruits is about moving ourselves to the sideline and moving God to center stage. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10 says, to honor the Lord with the first fruits of all of our wealth, then our barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Now, our rough guide to first fruits is a week's wages, but our definite spirit is honor. Honor to his leadership, his church, his kingdom, his rule in our lives, and then to experience his provision that's beyond anything of our personal making. You may not be in a season of high performance, but you can be in a season of high family. You can be low performance, but high family, and therefore high generosity. Every kid needs a dad. Every dad needs a granddad. Every new player needs an uncle. Every son needs a brother. It's time to cheer, to holler, and to get expectant. You may have been involved in the stupendous goals of 2008 and the winning header of 2009 and the super goal from the corner of 2010 and 2011. You need to be in standing ovation for the team of 2013. All we're doing today over the next 6 weeks is changing the captains over. The goal remains the same, to revive Liverpool and Merseyside by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The spirit remains the same. The hollow remains the same. The energy increases. The size increases. We're just taking turns like a peloton as to who actually leads this thing. But if you know anything about the Church of God, it's not actually led by Dave and Jenny Gilpin or by Roger and Anna. It's led by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his church. This is his church. This is the Church of God. We need to celebrate the prodigals, the new seasons. We need to get behind everything that's going on in the life of the church. How about the keyboard player? Why don't you come on up? And let me share about a guy called Roy Riggles, who is a football player, American football player from 1929. He was a college football player from the Rose Bowl final, and this was televised. And he ran 65 yards on the field with the ball the wrong way. And he was tackled by one of his own teammates. So I was kind of wondering why everyone wasn't streaming, thinking, Roy, such a hero, right? Just the place went dead silent. And then when he recovered, he realized what had happened. And then the whistle came for half time. So he was bawling his eyes out in the changing rooms. And no one was saying anything, just crying his eyes out. And then the call came for them to go out the second half. And his coach, called Coach Price, said, same team second half as first half. And he said, come on, Roy. And Roy said, I'm not going out there. I'm just embarrassed myself. So he's hiding his face and everything like that, right? And no matter what the Coach Price said, it couldn't change him. And finally, Coach Price simply said this. He said, Roy, he said, the game is only half over. And just that knowledge, the game's only half over, he just wiped the tears from his eyes and went outside. And the paper said the next day he played like a man demon-possessed. Like he grabbed every ball, made sure, checked his compass reading, checked, you know, and made sure he was running in the right direction. But completely changed his attitude. You know, I just think that this is a changeover for Roger and Anna, that we'll do the changeover in around 6 weeks' time, and between this time and then, David and Lisa will do a Wednesday Night Live and both be able to share, so you can get to hear their voices and get to see whether they got the true spirit of a true spirit of a shepherd, of a pastor. I just think that we've got an incredible opportunity for there to be a mass rise up, that a lot of you have been on the bench, but no need to be on the bench anymore. This is your time to say the game's only half over. And sometimes through disappointment, through failure, even through a fear of failure, we just go at half mast. And When I mentioned the expression reckless abandonment, holy abandonment, it's strange to say that. And yet that's the very essence of the gospel. It's the very essence of the woman with the alabaster jar, that she broke the top off and she poured a whole year's wages over the feet of Jesus Christ. It's complete holy abandonment, that they held nothing back. It's my desire to die empty. It's my desire to leave nothing back. to have no reserves back, to be full on, and then in the right season move to the bench, but still to be full on for the team Jesus, and then at the right time come back onto the field and be full on for team Jesus. Everything else will fade away. Everything else will perish. Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's coming back to set fire to all of the works that we do, to check out whether what we've done has been done with no sacrifice, half-heartedly, made of wood, hay, and stubble, or whether the stuff that we've done has been made with real sacrifice, with real heart, with a love for God, of gold, silver, and precious stone. And Jesus is coming back, and his reward is with him. And he'll reward us according to that which we've done. The greatest day of all days isn't when someone wins the lottery. It's not when you suddenly get a Christmas bonus. The greatest day is when Jesus Christ comes back and rewards you for every ounce of sacrifice, for every ounce of endurance, for every ounce of your Beckham spirit. And then all of heaven will be yours forever. My prayer is that Hope City Church would get a heavenly perspective, that we're only on this planet to bring his kingdom down, but eternal life's ours. We do it all because eternal life's ours. Everything pales to insignificance compared to everlasting life. It's like a tsunami that hangs over us. Everything pales into insignificance compared to the tsunami of the riches of eternal life. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're in this room with us right now. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you love us. And I thank you that you're a God who enables us to recover and to be replenished. I thank you that you love your church and you nurture your church with all of the beauties and all of the fullness of heaven. And I pray right now from the back to the front, Jesus, that people would sense and feel you watering them, fertilizing them, loving them, speaking to them, knowing their address, knowing where they are, knowing where they're at, Jesus. And Father God, I want to thank you, Jesus, for destiny. And I want to thank you for the future that you have for our lives, the future that you have for Hope City Church in Liverpool. And I want to thank you, Jesus, that for some, this is purely an ad break. I want to thank you that the best is yet to come. I want to thank you, Jesus, that this time it'll be square pegs and square holes, that this time it'll be infused with the lifeblood of relationship with God. And Father God, I want to thank you, Jesus, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who've decided to throw themselves into the hands of the living God. And I pray for those, God, that have held a bit back, for those, Lord Jesus, that have kept themselves a little bit on the grandstands, that there'd be a welcoming right now back onto the field of play, back onto the bench of recovery, that would welcome you right now. Come down off the grandstand and come back onto the field and come back for the greatest season you've ever lived. Those champions of the faith, those people that have done such a great era and such a great season in the past, want to welcome you back for the greatest season of your life. And there's people here that have done so much and felt that nobody's thanked them. And you've done so much and you felt that everybody's ignored you. And God would say to you today that he hasn't forgotten about you. He's collected every tear. He's collected every sacrifice and every bit that you've done for his kingdom. The labor of love that you've performed for him, he will reward you accordingly. Jesus Christ is no man's debtor and he's no man's forgetter. And Jesus Christ is reminded of the goodness and the sacrifice of years and years of service. And he'd say, don't look to man for your reward. Don't look to man for your reward, but look to me. God would say, look to me, put your hope in me, and I will not disappoint you. And Father God, we stand on the eve of incredible times. We stand on the eve of an incredible monster month in the life of Hope City Church. We stand on the eve of first fruits, Lord Jesus. And Father, we see this great changeover, the handing of this baton over in front of us, Lord God. But help us not to be distracted, Lord, that this is all about Jesus. It's all about leading people to Jesus. It's all about the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. And so help us, Lord God, to fix our eyes upon You. And help us like never before, Jesus, to see Jesus' kingdom advance in our lives and through our lives to the world around about us. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, Roger and Anna, stand up and everyone lift your hands toward. Everybody stand up and lift your hands towards them right now. And we're going to, I want some of the leaders. Come on, Gary. Come on, Andrew. Just to come and lay hands on them right now. And Father God, we want to dedicate them into the hands of the Lord. Father God, Lord, even though this is not quite the changeover, but this is when we hand them over to You. And Father, we want to thank You, Jesus, for 6 long, solid years of working for the kingdom of God, of sacrificing and enduring, of pushing, of producing. Father God, it's been incredible. It's been monumental. Father, couldn't have spent 6 years doing anything better than what they've done. Father, Your church is better off for it, Lord God. But Father, these warriors need a little bit of a rest. These warriors need just a little bit of family time. They need a little bit of marriage strengthening time, a little bit of family strengthening time, Lord Jesus. And Father God, that Anna needs some healing time, Jesus. And Father God, I want to thank You, Jesus, that You're the God of recovery and the God of restoration. And Father God, I thank You that You restore back stronger than it was before it was broken. That You give back pressed down, shaken together and running all over. And Holy Spirit, right now, God, let strength come from heaven. Let strength come from heaven, Jesus. Father God, they'll run and they'll not grow weary. Do you know this is your birthright? You've done some running and it's exhausted you. But God has said there's a higher level that you'll start to run. You'll start to run again and not grow weary. You'll think, where's this energy coming from? And God says, it's My eternal supply of strength. It's My eternal supply of strength. Even youths grow weary, but those who are tapped in to the Spirit of God, their strength's being renewed. You'll fly on wings of eagles. You'll walk and not faint. There'll be an unusual energy that'll quickly come upon you. You'll think, what is this new vitality that we have? Is this because we're having a break? And God says, no, it's because you've tapped into the vine. Because you've tapped into the vine. You've tapped into the richness of the vine. That you'll do things and there'll be no exhaustion. You'll do things, there'll be no arguments. You'll do things that there'll be no friction. There'll be no touch points. Because God's strength will be all over you. An unusual strength that'll take you into the rest of the years of your life, that'll take you into old age. Never fear exhaustion, God says. Anna, never feel exhaustion. Never fear exhaustion. Never fear that God will take away. Never fear that this energy will run out on you. For God is a sustainer, and God will prove Himself to be sustaining you in season and out of season. He'll be altogether wonderful. He'll be wonderful in season, in every season. Wonderful in winter, in summer, in spring and autumn. He'll prove Himself and He'll bring the delights of heaven. The beautiful delights of heaven. All kinds of delights. All kinds of banquets for the banqueting table. He'll sustain you. Father, we lift up their hands. We lift up their arms, Lord Jesus. We thank You, Jesus. We say greater years, greater days are yet ahead, Jesus. Greater days are yet ahead. Father, strengthen them in family, Lord God, as they put family first. Strengthen our church, Lord God, as we put depth of team into this church, Lord God. And Father God, we recognize that behind every great team are the Matt Busbys, the Bobby Charltons, the George Bests, behind every great team are the Roger and Annas. Behind every great team are the Davies family, Lord God. And Father, I want to thank You, Jesus, for this ability that we have, Lord, to prove that Jesus Christ is the Lord of Your church. And Father, we want to thank you. We want to praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Just stay there. Everyone look at me, right? The beauty of this is that Roger and Anna are going to be staying in Hope City, Liverpool, and they're going to be a part of this new uprising of energy. They're not going anywhere. They love you and they love the church and they love everything they're doing. And so there's no break in that. You know, you won't see them wearing their PJs up on the grandstand. You'll see them wearing Yves Saint Laurent on the bench. That's what you'll see them doing. And you'll see them sacrificing. You see them giving and loving and laughing. And together we're going to see every dream that we have come to pass. And this is not disaster. This is delightful. This is a delightful thing that God's doing. And I personally, I'll be back as well. And in 6 weeks' time, Jen will be here as well. And we'll just do an official handover. But I want to say thank you. Gosh, thank you so, so much. What an effort. What an effort. What a season. What champions. You know.
Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.